From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. One day after the collapse of Saddam Hussein's government, Iraq has no functioning civil authority. Until an interim government is established, a team of U.S. officials is expected to run the country. For now, though, that team, led by retired General Jay Garner, remains in Kuwait and will stay there until it is judged safe enough to set up base in Iraq.
James Dobbins joins us now. He served as the Bush administration's special envoy to Afghanistan, in charge of putting together a new government in Kabul. He was also a key U.S. troubleshooter in Kosovo, Bosnia, Haiti, and Somalia. Ambassador Dobbins, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How much of a window would you say U.S. forces have in Iraq to put some sort of authority together?
Well, I think they're going to have to move quickly to establish sort of basic security in the country. And they don't have much of a window for that at all, because the expectation will be that, having toppled the regime, the United States is going to step into the breach and restore order. And that will be done in the next couple of weeks, I would guess, in a minimal but basically acceptable fashion. Then the question is, you know, how long are they going to be welcome? And that will very much depend on how they handle themselves. There's a sort of common wisdom that they have to get out quickly before they become seen as occupiers. But that's not been our experience. I mean, nobody's asking us to leave Bosnia. No one's asking us to leave Kosovo. No one's asking us to leave Germany or Japan, where we've been for 55 years. So if we handle ourselves well, we'll continue to be welcome.
The Deputy Defense Secretary, Paul Wolfowitz, is quoted as saying that he figured it would be at least 6 months before a new government is in place in Iraq. Does that seem optimistic, pessimistic?
Well, it depends on how you define it. And I tried to parse what Paul was saying, because it wasn't quite clear. There's two stages here envisaged by the U.S. government, or three, really. The first is a stage at which the U.S. Governs Iraq. And that stage will be as brief as we can manage. Then there'll be a stage in which we have an interim government. An interim government is a government that's selected, not elected, which takes over many functions, but some functions remain under U.S. oversight. 6 months seems enough time to do that. The third stage is an elected government, fully legitimate, fully sovereign, turn power over to them, and then if they want, we stay and help in certain respects. 6 months seems early, if that's what's envisaged. I think holding elections within 6 months in a country that hasn't had a free election in one or two generations is probably overly ambitious.
In this immediate phase, where the focus has to be filling this vacuum of authority, is it clear to you that the U.S. forces have assumed a peacekeeping role at this point, or a policing role?
Well, I think this administration has some resistance to calling it peacekeeping or calling it nation building, but they are going to assume that role, and indeed by international law they are required to assume the role. The United States, you know, has assumed the responsibilities for governing Iraq until an Iraqi regime replaces it. That said, it will try to use existing Iraqi institutions, including the police, to the extent they can. These institutions will have to be purged. There's going to have to be a longer-term process of reform of those institutions so that they become genuinely democratic in their orientation. But they are presumably, and in all likelihood, available to be used, and they will be used.
Based on your experience, how many layers do you have to peel away before you find a police force, for example, that is acceptable to the people?
I think that's a hard question to answer. In Kosovo, the Serbs left, and they took the entire administrative structure with them. They had thrown Albanians out of all jobs. There were no Albanian policemen. There were no Albanian government service. And so the UN and NATO between them had to come in and do everything from scratch as if nothing existed. On Bosnia, on the other hand, there were institutions which remained in place. The problem was they were corrupted. They had engaged in ethnic cleansing, and they were continued to be under the control of extremists. And so you had to keep a close eye on them. You used them, but you policed them very carefully. When we went into Haiti, we intended to use the Haitian army and police, but we found very quickly that they were completely unreliable, and that if you used them, they would commit atrocities right on national television, right while you American soldiers were watching. And we changed our policy overnight. So, you know, we may have to adjust to circumstances we can't foresee at the moment. My guess is that the intention will be to completely disband the Republican Guard. Probably many of the intelligence apparatuses will probably be completely dismantled. But the normal police and the normal army will probably be kept and reformed, and then we'll see.
At the same time, it seems there's a question of to what level Iraqis will take matters into their own hands in terms of reprisals or vendettas. There were reports today of two Shiite Muslim clerics who were hacked to death by a crowd in Najaf. How much more of that might you expect to see, and what's the U.S. role in trying to prevent incidents?
The answer, unfortunately, is a lot. You know, for the last several weeks, we've had to worry about Iraqis killing Americans. Now we're going to have to progressively worry about Iraqis killing each other. And there's several sources for that violence. One is just common criminality, looting, rioting. The second is retributive violence of the sort that you've mentioned, where millions of Saddam's victims look to get even. Now, we may not lose a lot of sleep about the fate of Saddam and some of his closest lieutenants, but there are hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people who are innocent but who are associated with Saddam's regime by virtue of their families, by virtue of their ethnicity, by virtue of the places in the country they come from, or by virtue of their religion. Their safety is now in our hands. You'll recall when we went into Kosovo, we went in to protect the Albanians from the Serbs, and we spent the next 3 years protecting the Serbs from the Albanians. And so we may find that one of our most challenging tasks is protecting the innocents who were associated by family or other ties with Saddam's regime from Saddam's victims.
And if that does become part of the mission now, how big a U.S. force is necessary to fulfill that?
If you simply transpose the numbers from Bosnia or Kosovo, you would get very big numbers. On a per capita basis, the force necessary to do in Iraq what we're doing in Kosovo would be 500,000. Now, I think that's probably an upper estimate, and we can reduce that number significantly. The chief of staff of the Army, General Shinseki, talked about several hundred thousand, as I recall. That seemed a reasonable number.
And along with numbers of troops, the question is time frame. How long might they be there?
I've never seen a nation-building exercise of this magnitude succeed in less than 5 years. I've seen them be terminated in less than 5 years, and when that happened, they didn't succeed. I'm thinking particularly of both Somalia and Haiti. That doesn't mean we govern Iraq for 5 years, and it doesn't mean we maintain 250,000 troops there for 5 years. But if we're serious about not just having a regime that's better than Saddam, but having a democratic regime which serves as a model to the region, you know, then it is going to take, in my judgment, a reasonable estimate at this point would be 5 years.
Ambassador Dobbins, thanks very much for talking with us.
Pleasure.
James Dobbins was the Bush administration's special envoy in Afghanistan, as well as a troubleshooter in Kosovo, Bosnia, Haiti, and Somalia. He now directs the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the Rand Corporation.